welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 402 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm stunning and amazing and incredible. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. Yeah, life on planet Earth. How's everyone doing? How are your clients? How's everyone going?
Generally, the world is okay. I think everybody's got the kind of a bit of COVID burnout going on. Overall, I think that considering what everyone's going through, I am meeting a lot of positivity and a lot of good people doing good work, you know.
So. Yeah. Same. It's a funny old situation now. I don't know how to, as I said, I've sort of quite enjoyed it on the whole, appreciate it. I haven't had any direct involvement with the, in fact, you're probably my closest friend that I know that even has had the virus. Like, it's not touched me and my family yet directly. Yeah. So I want to keep it that way if possible. Just watching the news unfold. But, you know, we speak to neighbours every now and again on our way out, or there was an incident or a... Actually, yeah, you know the big tree by our house, the one that hangs over as you walk past?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was brought down last week.
Why?
Yeah, well, someone with a clipboard came out at some point and must have deemed that it was finally... either too dangerous or that it was due to, it could fall.
What a beautiful tree. That is so sad.
It was sad, actually, because the first thing we heard, I assume they do it deliberately. If they let people know about this stuff, there would be like protests and all sorts going on. We heard the chainsaws going, and then I got a text from a neighbour who lives opposite the tree and peered out the window out the corner, and then, yeah, there's a fella right up the top of it starting to bring the branches down. So everyone came out the front doors and we were all having a chit-chat about memories of the tree, and then word got onto Facebook about it and the councillor was like, I'm on the case, and it's too late, you know, it was already coming down. So
so did you manage to gather lots for firewood?
I didn't actually know. We haven't been using our wood burner at all for the last year or so. But it was funny, actually. Yeah, a lot of people kind of descended to kind of take the wood. Beautiful old oak tree, and there actually were signs on the inside of it where you could see that it was probably the right decision to bring it down. But that was about the most exciting thing that's happened in the last...
I wonder how long it had been there. It's quite an old tree, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. Yeah, there's a lady opposite me. She lived here since the houses were built, so it preceded her even. So
I think you're looking at 50 years plus for a tree like that.
Oh yeah, more than that.
100,
80, 200.
I don't.
So anyway, I can't remember what my point was, but yeah, that was an exciting little day and quite poignant and sad, as people kind of, we were digging out photos of kids that climbed it and all that stuff. Right, so we're doing the Live in the Present course at the moment. We're deep into the midst of it now. So we've done steps 1 through 4, and we're on to step 5 now, which we're talking about intention. Kind of let stuff go that's dragging us back, and we've started to live in the moment. And today we're talking about, you know, what is it that we want? Just as a little recap, liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the links and for all the previous episodes as well. We are giving out each chapter of the book as we go along as well, which you can grab as a PDF from the website too. So do.
Yeah, and important to actually go through and read those.
Yes.
We have the good old book here. It's a good read.
It's all right, isn't it? Yeah, I should say you can. We have got plenty of copies left as well if you do want to buy a copy from the shop as well. I think you can get, I can't even remember, the Kindle version is on Amazon and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, it's all on
there. Yeah. You'll find it somewhere, yeah, but it's on the website too if you want to grab chapter by chapter. I'm going to share my screen because those watching on YouTube can see the slides, but don't worry if you're just listening to the podcast, we'll hold you by the hand. Where are we going? Oh, hang on. Can you see that?
I can.
There we go. So step five, live in the present with the world famous Sean Orford. And yeah, we're talking about intention, Sean. So set the scene. What's this step all about?
Well, what happens is people get into the idea of letting go of the past. They start to get into their present. And then it's the idea of creating the future. Now, one of the problems with things like this, the secret, is that it can leave you with the impression that you just sit there and you do, I will have a ham sandwich routine, and it's going to drop in your lap. And it doesn't actually happen like that. You have to actually start to focus on what it is that you want. So the word intention is like the word attention. You need to pay attention to the things that you have to pay, be intent on your attention. Yeah, it's that thing, yeah.
We talked last week quite a lot about meditation and being mindful and living in the moment. So usually on the course, this is the moment where we would just let people, you know, take a breath and enjoy the moment. Hey,
yeah. And the thing about meditation is that meditation isn't for kind of 30 minutes a day. What it is that the 30 minutes a day allows you to be mindful in the other 23 and a half hours of the day. And that's the thing that's important, because mindfulness is every moment. You know, you can eat mindfully, you can pee mindfully, you can walk mindfully, you can shop mindfully. It's like it's being in your present. So that it's teaching us to focus on the now in the present and to let go of all the negative stuff, you know, because that's what holds us back. It's really, really not good. And it's that idea that you are the creator of your own world. You're the author, you know. You pick up the pen and you write the story. And if you're not happy with the story that you've got, well, you can turn the page over and write a new chapter, or you could put that book on one side and you can start writing a new book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of options here that you can do. And it's taking the responsibility for writing your story. Just recapping, this is really on the stuff that we were looking at in the previous chapter, but it's very, very relevant, is that the paradigm that we have is built up of beliefs. Beliefs are like the little building blocks that build the wall that is our paradigm. So we're either built of positive beliefs or negative beliefs. So one of the things that we would say on the course is the world a safe place to live in? Is it safe? Now, and that question came from Einstein. Einstein had done the maths that enabled the building of the bomb. And after he'd done that, he went through quite a bit of soul searching and was quite worried. And he did ask the leaders of the world at the time, is the world a safe place to be in? Because he saw that as if the world was safe, then people wouldn't use the bomb. Yeah, the people would only use the bomb if the world was unsafe. And that's a very interesting place to be, isn't it? Is the world safe? Do you see your world as safe? Is it safe?
Yeah, exceptionally, you know, and I guess I kind of see myself as quite lucky in that regard, you know, because I read probably and watch too much news, or more than I should do, you know, and I think I think this morning I saw some article about, or a piece about a glacier that's collapsed in India, I think it is.
Yeah.
And that looks pretty horrific. So there aren't any glaciers near me. But, you know, there's a tree that was brought down last week that I was just saying that potentially that I walk underneath every day and have climbed a few times that could have fallen on me at any moment. But still, I do feel very safe, yeah, on the whole. Mm.
And for me, it's like in my lifetime, I've virtually walked to India and walked around a lot of Africa. And in all the time I was traveling and doing things and studying, going places, I only ever had trouble once. I had any trouble, and that was dealable with the issue. But my experience is that in general, human beings are actually nice people. They're interested. They want to know who you are, where you come from.
Yeah.
You know, they want to talk to you. They're not out to get you. Whereas there are places that can be like that. And one of the things I think I might have said this a couple of episodes ago, when I was in the Middle East, I'd walk across Doha at midnight on a Saturday night and not even think about it. But there are places around here that I wouldn't walk around at midnight, because you might not have your wallet when you come out the other side. Yeah.
Strange old, funny old world, isn't it? All right, so what are we talking about, beliefs here, and how does that link in?
Well, there's an issue about self-belief, about, you know, can I do this? So we go back to the mirror issue. Can I go to the mirror, look myself in the eyes and say, love you? You know, have I got that kind of self-esteem that enables me to go forward? You know, I do things now where I'll stand up in front of 400, 4,000, 10,000 people and do a presentation, and it doesn't bother me because I'm used to doing it. And I believe, well, I guess if there's 4,000 people that will listen to what I'm saying, then it must be worth something. But it's like there was a time when I first stood up on stages where I was like, and very kind of anxious and nervous about it all. You know, but do you have a belief in yourself to do stuff? Because it's okay starting off needing to learn something and not being that good at it. But if you keep doing something, you get better at it. Yeah. So my teacher's definition of a good person was someone who's getting better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because if you're always getting better at it, in the end, you're going to be pretty good. Yeah. But you have to have that intention to keep getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, at school when we'd be in English class, you'd have to, you'd be all reading a book and you'd have to take it in turns to read, a page or two of a book to the rest of your classmates. And that was always quite a nerve-wracking moment until you kind of got in the habit of it, you know. And then even later in life now, the business networking meetings that we used to attend.
Yeah.
You know, when the first one I went to, when you have to stand up in front of 20 people and say who you are, what you do, and, you know, what you're looking for in terms of work, that kind of thing. It's a very nerve-wracking thing. But then, you know, a few weeks of doing it and getting to know everyone and getting to know people in the gang, it's easy peasy.
Yeah, but the magic thing about a network is we all look after each other.
Mm.
That's the thing. And it comes back to, you know, we look after each other, we're all going to be okay. Yeah. Just a reminder on the law of attraction, that when you're focusing on things, then you can make them happen. Yeah. Now, the thing is, if your focus is negative, then guess what? You're going to experience negative things. Yeah. And that isn't that they magically appear out the sky and drop in your lap. It's just that we tune into the negative. You know, if you're tuned into negativity and the most positive thing is stood right beside you, you miss it because you're not looking for it. You're looking at the negative. Because if you're looking at the positive, you might miss all the negative and follow the positive. Yeah, it's to do with how our perception works. Yeah. So we'd have this thing in the culture where we'd say to everybody, okay, turn to the person next to you and tell them something positive. You know, tell them that you love yourself, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so important. And when you look at people waking up, the first step that people go through, the first stage of development, is the victim stage. It's like, I am the way that I am because it's other people's fault. You know, the world is the way that it is because it's other people's fault. Yeah, that there's always someone else to blame. It's always them. You know them, they? It's like, they came and cut your tree down, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, we can get into that. It's the they and the them, rather than actually taking some responsibilities. Now, when you start to wake, and you're in that waking stage, you're starting to question your paradigm and you want to change it and you want to start to be responsible for who you are. And the third stage is awakeness. It's when you actually wake up, because then you've taken control of your life. You know, you're taking control of it and it is not in control of you. The world's changed. And that's when people get fulfilled and happy. That's when it starts to get very, very different.
Cool. And that's where we're kind of that's where we're getting up to now. I'm talking about, last week we talked a bit about living in the moment and being kind of appreciating that time and that space that it can bring, and now we're talking a bit more about dreams and what where we want to be, you know, 2-3 years from now.
And that is it's like, what do you want? What do you really, really, really want? It's this thing about, you know, how can we focus? And really what people do is they start off with a dream. Now, the dream can either be a fantasy, and when a dream is a fantasy, it becomes internalized. It never reaches the light of day. So people become armchair travelers. They'll sit there and fantasize about going to all these places that they never go to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's the important thing, is a fantasy is an internalized vision, if you like. But a real creative vision is an externalized vision. It leads to action. So the guy that invents the light bulb, he can envision the light bulb in his mind, and then he takes that vision and he creates something physical out of it. Yeah. And one of the processes of this waking up, getting on with your life from living in the present, is that it starts to become a lot of fun as you start to turn these dreams into realities. I've seen so many people create businesses and do all kinds of things positively, by actually filling themselves full of positive imagery about themselves and about the market and what they're doing, actually going out and doing it. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, it was something that sprung to my mind then. I've been watching Back to the Future movies again recently, probably for about the 15th time in my life, a bit more maybe. And it's Doc Brown, isn't it, that has that vision of the flux capacitor. Comes to him in a vision one night. I love that bit. I love the whole movie. Amazing. But then obviously it's a story. It's a film, so it doesn't really happen. But I was then, quite often when I'm watching a film at home, I'll kind of go on the Wikipedia page for the movie and just learn about how the film was made, because I'm a bit of a movie buff. So learning about how Back to the Future was made and the kind of all the stumbling blocks that the writers and the directors came up against over the course of the film. And Michael J. Fox, that plays Marty, you know, the main character in it, he wasn't originally cast as that person. So there was another actor on set and had been for weeks and weeks, and they'd filmed quite a bit already with this other actor. And then they realized that he wasn't right for it and that they needed to let him go. So someone had to go and tell this actor that had got this dream role sorry, it's not working out. And then they got Michael J. Fox in, and obviously, you know, he was perfect for the role, but still all the battles they had to go through to get that film made. And even, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? So the things that we end up seeing, whether it be on screen or in a book or products that we hold and we have, it's taken years and years of torture and and hard work, hasn't it?
But it all started off as someone's vision. Yeah. I mean, the simplest machine on the planet is a wheel. And it's like, whoever thought of a wheel? You know, how many things in our life involve wheels, whether it's from DVDs and discs through cars, through, you know, discs are moving all over the place. Yeah, clockwork.
Spinning things.
And if someone hadn't had that vision of the wheel, none of it would have happened.
No.
You know, or hadn't acted on the vision. How many of us have visions in our shower that would change the world, and we don't do anything with it? You know? Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So developing the attitude of gratitude that we were talking about is, and it's this that leads to it. It's feeling good about things. It gives us the positive visions. So gratitude equals an expanding mind, spirit, soul, whatever word you want to use. And ingratitude creates a contraction. What's the point? Why should I bother? Yeah, and that's where the law of attraction comes in, because it's like a mirror and it mirrors the way that you're feeling. And if you feel like life is bad and you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, God, life's bad, guess what kind of day you're going to have? Whereas if you wake up going, hey, it's going to be good today, guess what kind of day you're going to have? Yeah, it's so, so important. Yeah, sounds so kind of puerile, but it's real. You know, it's true. Yeah.
Spot on, man. Yeah, I love all that stuff. Fantastic. Yeah, and we talked a bit about monkeys last week, didn't we? And like paradigms and negative paradigms.
Yeah. Yeah. If all you hold is moans, dissatisfactions and frustrations, you're never gonna change. You know, never. Doesn't matter what you do, because there's always gonna be something to moan about. Yeah.
we all have people that we know in our lives that love a good moan and a whinge, and I'm constantly dissatisfied. So I'm just trying to think. You could be like, we can't just send them a copy, a link to this episode or this course, because people that are like in that state of mind aren't open to journeys of self-discovery generally. Yeah. So how do we, is there any hope for people like that, or do we just have to wait till they realize?
Well, I mean, some people do die moaning. Some people do have realizations, but very often those realizations are, if only, and then you get into the regret, and that's a really bad place to be. Mm. So one of the things that we say on here is, okay, what do you complain about? What is it that that you find yourself complaining about? And if you just stop and think about it, and then you think about, okay, what is it that makes me complain? And then look at how that limits you and what you do. So, so important, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've just been on Facebook, you know, right before we recorded this, and I was kind of chuckling away at some complaints under a council post about some changes to a road nearby. So resisting the urge to get stuck in, and you can't win arguments online, can you? As tempting as it is to kind of get stuck in and reply to people, and it never ends up well. Never works out.
So the whole process then about what we're looking at is we're looking at self-improvement, and self-improvement and waking up and living in the present and creating the future all work together. So the issue is about needing to develop skills, you know, and again, it doesn't matter. There was a wonderful woman on Sunday television a couple of years ago who was 84 and she just got her PhD. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many people at the age of 40 or 50 would think, oh God, I'm too old to do that now? But she's like lifelong learning, and that's so, so important. Yeah, and it's like, what skills do you need to enable you to develop and improve and to gain what it is that you want to develop? What is it? You know, could be practical, could be logical, there could be emotional. And this is a really important thing here, is like, what skills would you need to develop your dream? What is it that you would really need to do? And it could be that you would need maybe to learn a business skill. Yeah?
Yeah.
It could be the you know, finance or something like that. You know, I don't understand money. How do I do that?
Yeah, for sure. And this is a bit, I always come back to a point, is that the end goal of your success and or whatever it is you're aiming for, that flux capacitor, isn't necessarily the most rewarding bit. It's like, it's the journey along the way, isn't it? And it's learning those skills and those little breakthroughs. How many versions of the light bulb did it take Edison? Like, how many thousands?
There's a lot of arguments as to whether the light bulb was actually created by someone else. There was something like 1,000 versions of the light, wasn't it, before it actually became a light bulb? Because one of the comments we were making, was it, on the course was, you know, how many failures would it take for me to give up? But if I had a strong enough vision, could I keep overcoming the thing? Okay, that doesn't work. Okay, let's do this. Because in the end, he found tungsten, and tungsten was the metal. And I can't remember how many iterations of the design there were until he found tungsten that worked.
Yeah. I watched a biography movie of Van Gogh's life, Vincent Van Gogh. Recently, I can't remember the name of the actor who played him, Willem Dafoe. Well, quite another one.
Yeah.
Really cool movie. I think it's on Netflix. But I guess the sadness, if you can call it that, about something like, often with artists, like visual artists, they don't tend to be recognized until long after they're gone as well, do they, in terms of like international recognition. So Vincent Van Gogh died a failure in his eyes. He was often satisfied with his paintings, I think, from what I saw. Mm. But you know, he didn't get any like critical acclaim. In fact, I think he was shunned by a lot of his peers, and they just thought what he was doing was rubbish. You know, 100 years after he's dead, he's one of the most famous painters that has ever lived and will be remembered forever. But he didn't get to experience that joy, whether he would have enjoyed it or not, I'm not sure. But sometimes
maybe the reason he did it was because of the picture. I mean, a lot of creatives have said to me, when they're painting a picture, it's really important. Once they finish the picture, they don't really care what happens to that, because they're on to the next one.
Yeah,
that they want to do. You know what I mean? Mm. So, yeah, maybe
fascinating stuff in it. But yeah, I mean, go on. So the next slide is about what do you want? And I guess even I don't still not exactly sure what it is that I want, but it can take a while, can't it, to figure this stuff out?
Well, one of the things that I suggest on the course is that people do a T diagram. So the T diagram, literally draw a T on a piece of paper. And on one side, you write down what you don't want, a list of what you don't want. And on the other side, what you don't want can take you to what you do want. So it could be that you, what I don't want is a man that snores. Woman asking question, right? So what I do want is I want a man who maybe doesn't smoke or drink too much and isn't overweight. You know what I mean? So you can tell what you do want sometimes by looking at what you don't want. The two things reflect each other.
Yeah.
But what tends to happen is when you say to people, what kind of music do you like? And people go, oh, I can tell you what I don't like. Yeah, but kind of tell you what you do like. And the problem is that when you focus on what you don't like or what you don't want, because you're focusing on it, it creates a bigger space in your mind for it. So if someone's going, I mustn't have a cigarette, I mustn't have a cigarette, I mustn't have a cigarette, the drive and the desire to have a cigarette gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Whereas if they can focus on, I really enjoy breathing fresh air and having lovely clear lungs, that gets bigger.
Okay.
Yeah. So if it's like, I don't want bills, then, oh God, I can't pay any bloody bills. Yeah. What happens? It's like it gets more and more difficult.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So it's focusing on what you do want, not focusing on what you don't want.
That's okay. Yeah? That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so excuses. Yeah. What happens as soon as you start to try and do things? The first thing that happens is the monkey gets out the cage, the old paradigm reactivates, and then it starts to try and play all the games with you. So it starts off with the excuses for not being able to do something. Oh, I couldn't do that. You know, it's all right for you. You know, you're all that kind of stuff. But it's like not allowing that to get in the way, you know. Yeah. And commonly people, you know, the sour grape story about the fox and the grapes, and it's like it's easy to accept failure as being like, well, you know, it's my childhood, you know. If it wasn't for that, I'd be a really successful person. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not living in the present. You've got to be with it, yeah? You got to be responsible for you and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, of course. Fun.
We're on step five here. So everyone has already processed all that stuff. So, you know, if it's still weighing you down a bit, does it mean you need to spend a bit more time?
Yeah. And those steps, one and two, particularly, you might have to revisit several times over several years to get yourself to a point where you are actually letting it go.
Yeah. And you might just realize that as you're further along the process, mightn't you? So you don't need to go back to square one and start all over. You just need to kind of
just rewind, dip in, dip out. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, okay, we're at a point where it's like we need to get beyond those excuses and stop going back and feeding the old paradigm. We need to feed the new paradigm. And it's useful to sit down. We always recommend keeping journals, writing all this stuff down so you can review it. But it's like, what are your common excuses? What are the things that you've come up with over and over again? You know, oh, I can't do that, I'm too old. I can't do that, I'm too young. I can't do that because I'm a woman. Oh, men don't do that. You know, it's like, what are the excuses you come up with over and over again? And once you can see what your common excuses are, then you can start to develop ways of making it different.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
That makes sense.
Yeah?
Cool.
So we're back to the question, aren't we? If you had no excuses, that the old paradigm wasn't dragging you back and making you negative, yeah, what is it that you would really, really want to do? If you could do absolutely anything, what would you do?
Do you think sometimes people are a bit scared to really go after what they really want? Like, for example, sometimes it might mean leaving things behind, friends or family that...
Yeah.
You know, you might want to travel, you might want to go to a certain place, you might want to relocate to another part of the world that better fits your way of thinking, or, you know, if you want to go and work in high-tech computer stuff, you might need to go live out in Silicon Valley and relocate, mightn't you, or London for financial stuff. I don't know, but that can be quite hard stuff to get through.
And there are things that we do have to look at that we will come across, which is like the issues about relationships and you know, what are we doing in our relationships? Do they serve us well? You know, all that kind of stuff. And how can we improve them and get more out of our relationships and maybe more support as well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is quite important.
Find that the real goal, hey? Yeah.
Yeah. So if you work through these bits, and like I say, you need to download the chapter and work through this, all the bits in it, then you're looking at a point where your goal is starting to become clearer. You're getting nearer to that point. Yeah. And if you can leave your excuses behind, then your life can begin to take off. Yeah. And if you're not acting to achieve your goals right now, why not? Why aren't you doing that? Yeah. And whatever your answer is an excuse. And one of the easiest ways to tell this is that it's the £1 million exercise. You know, so someone gives you a check for £1 million. What do you do with it? Yeah. And whatever you do with it in the end, you can play all kinds of games with, you know, most people pay off the mortgage, you know, look after other people, have a holiday, whatever. It's like, okay, now what? And the thing is that anything that you would do with £1 million or £10 million, if you're not doing that kind of thing with your life already, you're not living your real self. Because all the money is energy. The money is like a magnifying glass. You know, £10 is bigger than a pound, and £100 is bigger than 10. And the bigger the amount of money gets, the more of what you can do. And if the answer to winning £1 million is, I do what I'm doing, but I just do it more or more intensely or bigger, then you're right. You're doing the right thing with your life. But if the answer to the question, what you do with £1 million, is any different to what you're doing now, you're not doing what you should be doing with your life.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a cool one. I haven't heard of that one before. I like it.
Yeah.
Got me thinking that, as you know.
Yeah. So here's a check for £1 million. What are you going to do with it? Yeah. Okay, so lots of things to think about in that. But okay, changing your paradigm creates your future, yeah? The old paradigm will always keep you back, same old, yeah? The paradigm will always pay out, and that's the karma, yeah? And you change your karma, and remember, all that the word karma means is the consequence of your actions. That's all it means, yeah? It's no kind of bad karma, negative karma, it's just the consequence of action, yeah? So, and this is the point, is that there are no exceptions to the law of attraction. The law of attraction is what you focus on, yeah? If you spend your life developing what you want, in the end, you're going to get it,
mm-hmm.
yeah? If you spend your life trying to find out reasons why you can't get what you want or blaming other people or moaning about it, you're never going to get what you want,
yeah? It ain't going to happen. Yeah. And I mean, this should be an exciting phase, shouldn't it? Right. So if people are committed to this little online course and this process, this is the bit where you get butterflies in your tummy and you should be getting a little bit excited about stuff, eh?
You're going, yeah, hey, come on. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like people say, okay, what's the purpose of your life? What's, you know, what are you trying to get out of it? My life is really, really simple. It comes down to this for me, is that when I was doing my initial training, when I was in my own negative hole, and my teacher said to me, when I said to him, okay, what's your life about? And he said, he thought about it for a minute, and then he said to me, okay, if in my life I can inspire 10 people to work positively with others, and in each of their lives they do the same thing, I've done what I need to do. And at the time I thought, yeah, right. Now, I get that now.
Yeah.
Because I realize that if each of us could inspire other people to work with other people, in the end, it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But as he used to say to me, the world changes. It doesn't change in Sean's time. It changes in its own time. You've got to allow it. You know, so that's something that we need to look at in what we're doing, you know, the law of allowing.
Yeah.
But We can, if we can change others, then we can change the world.
We can, yeah. And they're talking about the network effect there, wasn't he? Intentionally or otherwise. And
yeah.
Yeah, 10 people's cool, and it does. It's 10. Well, we're getting a bit of a lesson in maths at the moment from this virus, aren't we? That if you've got it and you meet 10 people, it'll blah 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 blah. It can go on and on. And if you think about that in a positive, in a more positive way, in terms of positive attitudes and ideas, then the same thing can apply in a great kind of way, can't it?
Yeah. And that to me, if at the end of my life I'd done no more than just inspired some people to go and work positive with others, I would have done what I need to do.
Mm.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be doing it from the comfort of a nice warm house. But you know what I mean? I like to live nicely. But if that's what my life's about, it's about, can we make this thing better?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can. That's the point, is that we can. We just got to do it.
We can and we will. All right, cool. That's brilliant. What's step six? A little insight into what's coming next week. Can you even remember off the top of your head?
I can. We're starting to look more at kind of relationships, and we're looking at allowing this kind of tolerance. We're starting to move those ways. Mm-hmm. Because what tends to happen at this point as we move into the next part of the process is that people start to hit their blocks and their barriers. Yeah. And that negative paradigm that we're trying to get rid of can keep reasserting itself and going, hiya, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we're learning to do. So we're going to come at it from different angles. Yeah. And face some of our demons. You know, like what one of the big ones that we need to look at is money, because people's attitude to money can be really negative. You know, money doesn't grow on trees, you know. You know, all that kind of stuff, the negativity about money. And money is just a form of energy. And if we use it appropriately, then it's like planting a seed, then big things grow from it. It's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the trees need chopping down every now and again as well, don't they?
Yeah.
As we found out.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Okay, Sean. Well, looking forward to that. We'll reconvene next week and get on with with step six. And let every one of you, if you haven't already, get to livingthepresent.co.uk for all the links and to download the book or to buy a copy if you want as well. It's up to you entirely. Cool.
Okay. You take care.
You have a good week as well, Sean. I'll catch you here next time.
See ya.
See you later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.